Hi, this is Giovanni. You've heard me on the radio for years, and now I want to invite you to listen to my new podcast on the iHeartRadio app. It's called The Art of Improvement. You can download it on the iHeartRadio app. We talk about entrepreneurship, improving your life, your career, and believing in yourself. One of my favorite quotes is from gold medalist Michael Phelps. There will be obstacles, there will be doubters, there will be mistakes, but with hard work, there are no limits. It's called The Art of Improvement. Download it now by Giovanni Murata.
For life.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there, the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride on a Friday. Now, give me some strings. Horn section. Sorry, that was me. Carrie, how about you?
That's not me. Nope.
I'm pretty sure that was you.
It was not, no.
What day is it anyway? Where's Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's
Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
Let's go.
Friday.
You know it. Thank God it's
Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
You know, in a good mood, we're going to do something that's historic for me anyway. In just a bit, I'll explain it in a second. But not before we explain that it is a free speech Friday. Let's go.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Say what?
Bring it now. All right, take it up a notch. 1-800-383-9624. Whatever's on your mind is going to be fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we will move on. That is Carrie Lockie, my news anchor and general pain in my ass. We always appreciate her along for the ride. Carrie, we're doing something cool today.
I know. I'm very excited about it.
I heard from our station in Tulsa, Shelby Travis, and he said, listen, the BBC got a hold of me, and I thought this would be right up your alley, right in your wheelhouse. And about a minute five from now, we're expecting the BBC and Adrian Goldberg, the host there, Channel 5 on the radio there. I think they've got 7 or 8 million listeners or something. Mm. We're going to be joining up with them, and we're going to do a dual broadcast.
Wow, that's
so
really
quite
cool.
Literally, what we want to do is we want to take phone calls from them. They want to take phone calls from the United States. And we're going to mix it up about the president being in the UK and the protests that were, they're being called massive, but even if it were 50,000 compared to the population, it's not massive. It's a lot, I guess. But I heard a bit of what was being said in the streets in England today. And it's kind of the same left-wing stuff that's being said in the streets here some days. So it'll be interesting to get that perspective. So again, the number here, if you want to take part, is 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com if you'd like to send an email or Facebook, Twitter, or whatever. We're looking to link up with Adrian in about 10 seconds from now. I guess he's giving out the phone number for what you should do if you're in England. Now, if you're watching on Facebook, got a Facebook Live up over there as well. Just stop by Joe Pags or just put in Joe Talk Show on Facebook. So let me pause and see if we're going to get linked up.
Good evening to you, Joe. How are you?
Adrian, what's going on? How are you?
Well, good. We're really keen to get a view from the United States and get a sense from your listeners there of what you make of President Trump's visit to the UK and particularly the protests. And I'm particularly keen on this side of the water for Five Live to hear what our listeners have got to say, both in favour of and in opposition to the protests. I'll just remind our listeners, Joe, of our number, which is 08085 909 693. Text 85058 or at BBC Five Live. What have you been making of it over there?
Well, let me give the number again here. It's 800-383-9624, and you can always go to joepags.com to log on to my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram. You know, I watched it today, Adrian. It's a great question, because a lot of what I heard today on the megaphone at the square was he's tearing babies, you know, from their families at the border. He loves Nazis and said that they were very fine people. He's no good, and we rebuke President Trump. It's the same left-wing stuff that we hear in the streets here. It's interesting. It just, there was a different accent. So, I mean, it's kind of more of the same, to be honest with you.
It is interesting, though. The range of protest in the UK, there are protests against comments he's allegedly made in the past, which he has made in the past, about women. There's criticism of his so-called proposed Muslim ban in the United States, the ban on people going to the United States from a number of countries. There's a whole raft of issues that have brought people together on the streets of the UK. And he said tonight that there is a very special relationship between the two countries. The highest kind of special he described it as.
Well, he usually says things like fantastic and huge. But, you know, I want to hit on a couple of things. There is no Muslim ban. There never was. That's just a misnomer. It's untrue. It is completely ridiculous. But it's meant to scare, and it's meant to say Islamophobia. As it sits, and you're smart enough to know this, and just for the people listening and watching now, just so you know, Adrian and I have never spoken before ever. This is the first time ever that we're meeting, and I love this. What he did was he made it so that the same countries plus one that President Obama said we should be very careful about and probably stop people from coming from, he actually made it an executive order. And 92% of all Muslims from around the globe can still freely come to and leave the United States. So it's not true that there's a Muslim ban. That didn't happen.
Although those countries that you've suggested were countries which were predominantly Muslim, which is why
people... Absolutely, and they make up 8%. So I'm with you. I agree. They are predominantly Muslim, but they're also predominantly countries that ISIS controls and that we can't vet the people from. So, I mean, I, as long as people understand the real stories, if they want to be critical, I'm down. I'm completely in agreement with that. But don't be critical, and I don't mean you. For those with the megaphones in the streets, don't be critical unless you actually know what he said and what he's done.
Were you surprised that he gave this exclusive interview to one of our tabloid papers here, The Sun, in which he appeared to criticise the Brexit deal that had been suggested by our Prime Minister, Theresa May, suggested that one of her rivals, Boris Johnson, would make an excellent Prime Minister, at the very least, undiplomatic?
Well, I'll tell you this. I was surprised, but I'm not surprised. As you may have found out since looking into me, I've interviewed the president 7 times, 6 times as a candidate. I went to the White House and interviewed him since he's been president. I stopped being surprised by Donald Trump probably 20 years before he ever ran. The man is, he's unorthodox in how he gets the attention and how he gets his word out, his feelings out, whether as a guy building buildings or as a guy who's running the free world. I was specifically surprised that he sat down with one tabloid in the UK and not with many people. But as far as what was said there, I found it interesting what he said later in the press conference and sort of the press availability with the prime minister. He said, we have recordings of what was really said, so don't necessarily take the word for what was written in the magazine. So was I surprised that he sat down, Adrian? No, I wasn't surprised that he sat down.
Although the recordings have been made available and they do appear to back the newspaper's account of it. And, you know, he was suggested earlier that it was fake news, of course, one of his favourite phrases.
Right.
He has subsequently apologised to Theresa May and said that she is also a fine prime minister.
Well, I think the way that he tried to couch it was, and you know this, he said that I do think that Boris would be an excellent prime minister, but I don't want him to go up against Theresa May. So I think that's sort of the way in his mind he may do with it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what would be really good, I think, would be for listeners on this side of the water, and particularly one or two of those who've been at the protest today, to come on air, to join us tonight on 5 Live, 08085 909 693.
Yeah.
And maybe speak to one or two of your listeners, particularly your listeners who might be sympathetic to President Trump. How do you think
about
that?
Well, I tell you this. It's 800-383-9624, joepags.com here. It's joepags.com. And go there for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. I would love to hear from people in the UK. And I don't know how much you know about me, but I am sympathetic to the president. I am somebody who voted for him. I'm somebody who believes that he's doing a very good job. And I'm also really good at sifting through the BS that's being, and I don't mean by the UK, I mean the BS by the far left, where if they get emotional enough and if they lie enough about what he allegedly said or didn't say, then they'll be able to get some people who believe that. So I can answer their questions, certainly. But I'll tell you this, I don't know how many phone lines you have there, Adrian. I've got 5 phone lines here. They are full and they're melting down. So people would love to talk to those of your listeners in England.
Okay, Joe, I think you've got to go to a little break now, haven't you? Five Live will stay with it. If you head to your break, and we'll join with you again in just a moment.
Oh,
08-5-909-693. This is a special link up tonight between Five Live and the Joe Pags Show.
Absolutely.
How many shows do you go out? How many places do you go out?
We're 110 radio stations.
100, Joe,
110 radio stations, 6 million listeners, and we're just growing from there. I'm going to do this. Let me toss it to break here. I'm going to stay with you, though, Adrian, if you don't mind. I'll stay with you through my break as I send the listeners to break here in the United States, and then we can continue talking. All right, this is the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Joe Pags Show nationwide, and this is actually very, very cool because we're able to talk to Adrian Goldberg. He is the host right now on BBC Channel 5. And it's one heck of a deal that we're pulling off here, and I like it a lot. I'm really looking forward to hearing from some callers from Great Britain, and also I'm looking forward to hearing you guys talk to him and to his listeners there. Adrian, I'm going to pull you back up on this side just to make sure that we're back in sync.
So many issues, aren't there, around the question of President Trump, whether it is about the...
We have you back up now.
Oh, Joe, thank you. I was like, you were questioning. I mean, I don't remember in President Obama's time children being kept, though, in these.
Same exact thing happened. Actually, there's actually video and pictures of the same exact chain link fences. They're not cages. They're just, I guess people would have felt better had they been put in the Gray Bar Motel, you know, with some jail bars or something. No, they were in, these are detention centers that had to be popped up because of the influx of those who were coming here illegally. The children are very quickly, Adrian, moved on to recreational centers with soccer fields and video games and 3 hot meals a day and beautiful bedding and a beautiful place to stay. So Obama did that, and he had to change the policy because of pressure from some pro-Hispanic group, pro-illegal immigration groups in the states. He changed it to something called catch and release, which was you catch the person breaking the law, you give them a summons to appear, 95% of whom never show up, and then you say, you can now be released into the United States, which actually made no sense for our economy and for our laws. So yeah, there is some dichotomy in thought process as to what really happened and to what the media is suggesting happened, that we took children and ripped them from their moms and they threw them in a cage. It just didn't happen that way.
Yeah, although when you talk about people who've broken the law, isn't the point here that the people are subject to a legal process and have not been found guilty at that point of any offense, but are effectively being treated as if they're guilty?
It's a great question. It really is, and it's a very well thought out question. Let me answer it this way. In the United States, as I assume in Great Britain, if you get pulled over for speeding down the highway, you get stopped, you get detained for a moment, you're given a ticket, and here you get sent on your way. Maybe you go to court, maybe you pay the ticket, whatever. But if you were to get back in the car and speed off, leaving a patch of rubber in front of the police officer, and go 95 miles an hour again, would he just pull you over again, or would he say, you know what, just go on and do whatever you want, I've already given you one ticket? Well, the answer is, of course, he would track you down, he would probably detain you, put you in the back of the car, and take you to the jail for the night. What illegal immigrants are doing is, what they're doing is they're taking something that they haven't legally applied for. They're taking the ability to come here, work here, stay here. So why summons them and then release them to do what they wanted to do in the first place when we know only 5% of them show up to the court date? They just stay here illegally until somebody figures out what to do with them. That I think goes to the point that you make. Due process does mean you get the summons and you come back. If 80% or 90% were coming back, maybe that's a good point. The fact is, once they're here, we never knew who they were to begin with, could have given a fake name to begin with. Maybe these kids weren't their kids to begin with. And then they just, you know, roam around the United States taking jobs and using resources that should be secured and saved for citizens or residents of the United States and those who come here to immigrate legally. There's a legal, they have to pass 8 consulates on the way to break through the border illegally. 8. Just stop at 1 and do it the right way. It's not asking much.
These are the views of Joe Pags here on 5 Live and simulcasting across 110 stations in the United States. Joe is a conservative talk show host in the United States, interviewed Donald Trump 7 times. We're reflecting on the anti-Trump protests in the United Kingdom today. Anywhere between 100,000 and maybe even 250,000 people gathering in
Central London. Well, that's a big swath, isn't it? 100 to 250. That's a pretty big one. And I want to present who you are as well, because my listeners are wondering, why are they hearing you? Yeah, it's Adrian Goldberg. He is a great host at BBC Channel 5 in the UK. We are simulcasting, or I guess not even a simulcast, we're dual broadcasting both of our shows. His show is live now in the UK, my show is live here now in the United States. And I think this is a really cool way to figure out what's happening on that side, rather than just hear it from CNN or Fox News or whomever. Let's hear it actually from people. Do you have people lined up? I'm excited.
0800-599-693. We're going to get them lined up in just a moment, Joe.
Because I'll take calls here if you're ready. I'll throw somebody on from here. Yeah, we've got bloated phone lines and people are dying to talk to you. So let me go to Tom, who's in Corpus Christi, Texas. Tom, what's going on? Hi.
Sir, I'm in the KTXT down here, and I think it's behind a little bit, so I missed some of what's going on. But I've heard some stuff today that most of these protesters in England are anti-Brexit. That's what I've heard.
All right, well, let's ask Adrian. Tom, I appreciate that. Is there any truth to that, Adrian, that the majority of the protesters are anti-Brexit?
You know what? It's very difficult to make out what element of the protesters were pro-Brexit or anti-Brexit.
Okay.
As I understand it, Brexit didn't really play a part in the reason for people turning out against President Trump. So I'll throw it out to our listeners and maybe one or two who were protesting today to clarify that for me. But I don't think there was a particular Brexit stance from the audience. It wasn't very specifically anti-President.
Were they just holding signs saying boo Trump? I mean, is that all it really was?
Well, I actually did see one saying boo Trump. Let's hear from Brian in Dumbarton in Scotland. Hi, Brian.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, welcome, my friend. Were you at a protest today?
No, I may meander down to Turnberry at some point. Because
President Trump's there this weekend now at his golf resort at Turnberry in Ayrshire, yeah?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely agree with the protests. I think in part they were to do with President Trump and to send a message to him. But I think on a wider scale, it's to try and send a message to America that as a country, you have deviated so far from your moral compass, you would not believe, as an outsider looking in at you, just how far you are
away
from reality.
In what way?
Putting kids in cages, climate agreement.
Didn't happen. No, they didn't put kids in cages. We've already talked about that. That didn't happen. I'm willing to answer the question about the law that says you have to detain people who break the law. What do you do with their... Let me ask you this. What do you do with their children? Somebody breaks the law, what do you do with the kids?
Generally, somebody in their family will look after those kids when their parent goes to jail. They don't just take the kids and put them into care, you know. That's not the way it actually works in reality. This is what I'm talking about.
Well, what do you do with the children? I'm just wondering. I get it. And I feel I'm a father of five. I understand completely. Listen, I don't want my children taken from me either, but I'm not breaking the law. What do you do with them?
I'm trying to answer that. If you commit a crime, your children will probably be looked after by a member of your family, correct?
Yeah, but somebody's coming from Honduras with just what? No, wait a second. I'm going to answer your question. It's a logical question. If somebody's coming from Honduras or El Salvador or somewhere, Guatemala, and they go through Mexico and make that entire trek with one adult, maybe, and then they get to the border, the adult is going to be arrested for breaking the law. Who are you giving the children to? Who's the family member?
So what you're saying is in this particular circumstance, you can't keep the children with their parents?
The president signed an executive order. My man, you're just not listening. I love you like crazy, and I hope when I come there we can have a beer. But what I'm saying to you is this. The president signed an executive order because of people like you who are concerned about it. So now, as the parents are being detained, their children will stay with them. But before that was happening, they were being sent to very nice recreational centers until the parents had their due process. It's very simple. You don't know what you think you know is what I'm telling you. Go ahead.
So what you're saying is your president's a bit of a flip-flopper and he's not prepared to stand by his convictions. I mean, this is a guy who...
So you didn't want him to sign the executive order?
I didn't say that.
Well, you just said that he flip-flopped and didn't stand by his convictions, I think.
Well, you're trying to portray Donald Trump here as some...
No, I'm trying to answer your questions. Your questions are loaded and you don't know what you think you know, but I do love you. Hey, we're going to have to hit a break. Hey, Adrian, we're going to have to hit a break here. In just about 20 seconds, so...
That's cool. Brian in Dumbarton, thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, good guy, I like Brian.
Protest today,
I like the guy.
What Brian has had to say. Can you understand, maybe articulate in a slightly different way what Brian was saying? Give us a call. 0808-599-693 in the UK or text us on 850.
I'm going to turn you down a little bit, BBC. Appreciate you. We will tune back in a second. It's the Joe Pag Show. Quick break here. That's going to be fun. Carrie, this is going to be fun.
Very exciting.
WOAI. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All of that and more right there. Make sure you stop by. We're also doing a Facebook Live right now. As we're doing a dual broadcast, we are broadcasting the BBC Channel 5 live show from the UK. They're actually finishing up their news and sports break. And they are broadcasting, simulcasting my show, the Joe Pags Show, throughout the UK. Carrie, I got to ask you very directly. Did you understand what the man was saying from Scotland?
Well, a little bit. I tried. I do love that accent, though. I love it.
But it's an awesome accent.
It is. I was maybe just
the more
a little...
The more he spoke, I think the more I understood. I started getting it, and it turns out he's just like some left wing guy here, with what he was saying. But this is seriously cool. I love hearing the perspective.
It. Yeah.
I'm gonna dip in because I think in about 5 seconds they're gonna come back. and rejoin with us. Let me see if that's in fact the case.
Here is Joe.
Hey, Adrian, how are you?
Welcome back to you. Yeah, very good. We've got John in Swindon who wants to speak, George in Essex about the protest today. But you've got a caller, I think, first for us.
I do. It's Donna who's in Minnesota. Donna, you're on with Joe Pags and also with Adrian Goldberg. He is on BBC Channel 5 right now. What's happening?
Oh, I've always wanted to say, hi, Donna in Minnesota. Nice to speak to you.
Hey, Adrian. Hey, Joe. Nice to be on the show. I just like
you don't sound like you're from Minnesota. Wait a second. What is that accent?
Yeah, a UK person living in America. Go figure. But I would
beautiful. Fill us in.
Thanks. I would like to take issue with what you said, Joe. We have absolutely had children in cages. We've got the news out here. We've got the, you know, we've seen the actual footage. I'm not saying that every child has been placed in a cage, but originally, right at the beginning, we took over Walmart stores. We had too many children and too many adults. And we absolutely did see large cages. I'm not saying they were 2x4s, but we had large metal cages. We also had folks individually in cells where they were kept in there for days. And their children weren't always removed and placed into these lovely places that you say with recreation and football fields. And so I really wish you would try and be balanced in your reporting here.
Well, I'm going to be balanced. Like, Don, I'm going to be balanced, and I appreciate what you were saying, but I'm going to have to respond to that, and then I'll let you go ahead and do whatever you want. You could ask Adrian whatever he wants. Absolutely did not have children in cages. That's not true. We're characterizing like my fence outside at my house as a cage. It's not. It's a fence. It's some sort of a place to keep people who broke the law detained. The idea that children were kept in cages for some elongated period of time is simply not true. If you want to call them cages, fine. But if you're calling them cages, don't relate them to animal cages. They weren't. And the children were taken to recreational facilities that were beautiful. I posted them over on my Facebook page. I didn't make them up. I didn't lie about them. The facility that I showed on my Facebook page was from San Diego. It was a beautiful place that was probably better than any place that these children stayed when they lived in Honduras and Guatemala and elsewhere. I will be quiet now, but I'm not going to allow you to characterize. I'm not going to allow you to characterize it like it's they're animal cages with a dog bowl. That didn't happen.
Well, Joe, let me just read.
I didn't say that they were animal cages either. So don't misrepresent me either. In fact, I made a point.
Okay, we won't misrepresent each other anymore. Go ahead.
Okay, let's do that. But I mean, I live here. I see the media on both sides, not just the left and not just the right. I see it across the board. I make it a point to get balanced views, and I have seen. We all have live news footage of large cages, small cages, it doesn't matter. They were cages. They couldn't get out. They were fenced in. And the cells that I'm talking about were absolutely real, too. And not all kids were moved to nice recreation areas, like you said. You may have good examples, but we've equally got bad ones. The executive order that you said that Trump placed, sure, he caved to the outcry that was made, not just in this country, but internationally. And I wish in your always saying that it's only the left that complain about these types of issues, I wish you'd actually look. Yeah. And ask yourself the question, why internationally is this president being protested in such large numbers? Why don't you ask yourself why he is so unpopular? Is it the fact that...
Hey, Adrian, what's interesting is I thought I would get somebody with this accent call from your side of the broadcast and then attack me. I thought that she wanted to talk to you, but I guess she wanted to talk to me. Donna, I love you. No, I love you like crazy. Donna, we've taken about 3.5 minutes. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to relate to all of that. The reason why people are protesting in large numbers outside of our country is because, as the caller from Scotland illuminated to all of us, they believe what isn't happening. And I'm not like Baghdad Bob in Iraq when the American tanks were rolling in to take out the Saddam Hussein family. I'm not that guy saying they're not here when they were right there. I'm here to tell you I didn't make up where these facilities are. They really are recreational facilities. They are really much nicer than where these folks are coming from in Central America. And the idea that we should not keep detained in some sort of a detention facility people who are breaking the law is an idea that I reject. And as much as go ahead.
You dispute the idea that children are kept in cages.
I do.
I mean, I'm just reading a list of headlines now. I've just done a search on a well-known search engine. Hundreds of lone children kept in cages in U.S. border. Children separated from parents at U.S. border held in cages. Trump migration separation policy. Children in cages. Video of cages for illegal immigrants and kids at the U.S.
Right.
I know President Trump has a big thing about fake news. These are from newspapers around the world, the English-speaking world, that have described the same process and have described children in cages.
Well, let me ask you very directly, because you sound like an unbelievably smart guy, and because of the accent, you sound smarter than I. Because the headlines say it, Adrian.
Come on, don't.
I mean that. I'm going to butter you up. I'm going to butter you up first, and then go at you. Because the headlines say it, Adrian. Does it make it so?
What I would suggest is that if a number of newspapers are saying it from the political right and the political left around the world, the likelihood is that there is some degree of truth in it. Yeah.
Well, some degree of truth as compared to the truth is a little bit different for me. Here's what's real. You said something about one of the headlines saying Trump's immigration separation policy. That didn't happen. President Trump didn't make an immigration separation policy. Never did. That policy has been in place, some would say, since 1997. Obama did the exact same thing until the pressure built up so much that he started catch and release. What the people here in the United States want, those on the very far left, those who are the anti-Trumpers or the resistors of the resistance, they want open borders again. They want people to come here, sign something, make up a fake name, no DNA test. So what if they are smuggling children or if they're somehow sex smugglers, which turns out some of these kids are just victims. Well, hold on a second. Let me finish the thought.
I think this is really important.
It is.
This is from the BBC News website. Okay. Uh-huh. So we take the BBC, as members of the BBC, to be true.
I'm guessing you believe the BBC. Go ahead.
Former First Lady Laura Bush has compared it to the internment camps used for Japanese Americans during World War II.
Right, and she was wrong. I'm not really sure what else you want me to say. She was wrong. She didn't go. The idea that she saw some pictures like the guy from Scotland didn't, like you did, or saw some headlines means that it's true. Listen, do you know where I am right now?
You're in San Antonio,
you physically
Texas,
know where I am. San Antonio, Texas. Yeah. I'm about an hour and a half, 2 hours to the border. We've got 14 radio stations listening to us right now in Texas. My ratings are through the roof. Do you think the people in Texas are lying to themselves about what's really happening on the border? Do you think the people of Texas who overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump just voted for him because he's some sort of a Hitler or a Nazi who's separating kids and making new internment camps? Or do you think they know the truth? The idea that I'm sitting as the crow flies about an hour to the border and I don't know what I'm talking about is an idea that I'm going to reject wholeheartedly, as much as I love you as if you're my brother in England. It's just not, it's not the case. It's not happening. The idea that somebody says they're cages, I guess you can make an argument that I'm sitting in a cage right now because it's closed on all four sides. That doesn't make any sense. They're not animal cages. They're being treated to through three hot meals a day. These kids are getting video games. They're getting they're getting tutoring that the American taxpayer is paying for. And there are people who actually think that for some reason, Donald Trump hates the kids, and he's ripping them from their families. Adrian, it's not happening.
Well, they are being separated from their parents, aren't they?
Right, because that's the law. And until the Congress of this country, which is constitutionally how they have to do it, until they change that law, that's what it's all about. Now, the big sticking point was the zero tolerance policy. What did that mean? That meant that instead of catch and release, or instead of turning a blind eye, if you break the law, you're going to be prosecuted. Then you're going to be separated from your children like anybody who breaks the law. It's nothing special that you're an illegal immigrant as compared to somebody who's committing petty thievery.
Let's hear from George in Essex, who's called us tonight. Hello, George.
Good evening, Adrian.
Hello, my friend. Go on, what's your thought on this?
I just wanted to reassure all the good people of America that there is an awful lot more people in the United Kingdom who admire and support President Trump than those who've got the time to take to the streets to express their discontent with the American president. I speak to a lot of people, I believe, when I say that he's a breath of fresh air in the political world. He's a man who does what he says he's going to do. The specific topic that you're bogged down in tonight about the detainment of refugees that come across the border, immigrants when they come across the border, your American DJ there has explained fully that this wasn't Trump's policy, this was in place before he came in.
So do you believe that you speak for the silent majority of British people?
Well, I hope so.
We allow all world leaders to come here, don't we? We've allowed many world leaders to come here whose countries have got very dubious human rights records. It's only a couple of years ago we welcomed the Japanese here, wasn't it? I mean, we're an open country. We welcome anybody here, and we will try and reason and bargain with them and do deals with them and move forward all the time. We're not the sort of country that rejects people coming here who might have different views and values to ours. I don't believe President Donald Trump was. I wish that in the UK we had a leader, a political leader of any colour, who did what they said they were going to do.
Okay, interesting stuff. Thank you for that, George.
Adrian, I want to interject this, because this is very interesting. I had Donna from England call from Minnesota and take your side, and I just had a guy call in on your side, take my side. I thought that was very interesting. Hey, I
don't have a side. I'm BBC. I'm strictly impartial.
And I believe that, but although you give all these headlines, I didn't hear any headlines saying, you know, they have nice recreational centers. All right, I've got to take a break here, so I'm going to dip out of you for a second, and then I'll bring it back up, and I'll join you during my break, if that's okay.
That's cool. Yep, Joe Pags is dual broadcasting with us here on 5 Live tonight.
It's the dual broadcast between the BBC Live Channel 5 and the Joe Pags Show here in the United States. Carrie, this has been fun.
I'm loving it. I love listening to the callers from there, too, and their points of view. It's good stuff.
I think a lot of, I got to be honest, I think some of them are faking the accent.
No, I don't think so. No,
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Quick break. We're back after this. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
828.
I want
to be informed.
I need to know what's happening.
To know what's going on.
Check in.
It changes every day.
Every day. News Radio 1200. WOAI.
All right, great to have you. It's the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We are doing a dual broadcast with Adrian Goldberg over at BBC 5 Live, I believe it's called, and it's right in the UK. There's a caller, John, on the line. I'm going to try to relink with them right now. And John went down a litany of things that Donald Trump or the United States or somebody has caused, and they're all far left-wing things, and he's asked a million questions, but he doesn't take a breath and allow you to answer. So let's pick it back up. Adrian, I'm back with you.
To try to turn the tide back. It's self-evident.
Okay, John.
It makes no secret of it.
John, that is your opinion. You're welcome to it. Joe, obviously, that's John. I don't think John's mind is for turning by argument, and you'd obviously have a very different view. What about President Trump on climate change? Because, you know, he did back out of an international accord, didn't he? And that is something that he is questioned about globally.
Well, it was an international accord that was signed by or agreed to by President Obama. It wasn't a treaty. It was an accord. It had been a treaty. Of course, our Senate would have had to approve it. President Obama basically said, we will change everything. We will do everything. And I don't know, you, China, you can start doing stuff in about 30 years. It was completely out of balance. It was unfair, and it was punitive against his own country. It didn't make any sense. What Trump has said is, I'd be happy to get into an agreement with people as long as it makes sense. The thing that we're seeing from this president, and this has been evident since he took office, is he's looking out for the country he loves, number one. He loves other countries, too. But why not be America first? Why not say, look, these tariffs have to be even-handed, or we have to really have fair or free trade. Hey, climate change, we could take a look at it and see what the science says. Let's make sure that we're not punished, and China. And by the way, I went to China to adopt one of my children, Adrian, and when I was there, I wasn't allowed to go to some places because the air was too bad and because you couldn't drink the water. So at some point, the countries all have to work together in conjunction on whatever this is that allegedly is better for the globe and not punish the big guy because he happens to be the big guy. And the guy John, and I'll finish here, the guy John clearly had a list. I mean, just a litany of things that he had a problem with, and he wanted to somehow convey that list on the back of Donald Trump. I was willing to have a question and answer with him, but I think he wanted to do more of a monologue.
We have time for, let's get a word with Julio, if you can bear with us, if you don't mind, Joe. Julio is an artist based in London.
Well, we've only got a few minutes, Adrian, and I'm sorry to interject, but can we throw somebody else on from the States?
Yeah, go on.
Because I think that they'd love to talk to you. Let me go to Beth.
Absolutely.
Let me go to Beth, who's in Yakima, Washington. Yeah. Beth, what's going on?
Hi. Not much.
Hi, Beth.
Just enjoying your interesting show.
Thank you. Well, you're talking to Adrian Goldberg in the at the BBC in the UK, and of course, Joe Pags. What's up?
Well, I just had a comment that I would like to make about history and the true Nazi Party. In history, the Nazi Party was the party that had riots and marches against the government. It was the party that used the schools and the media to persuade the opinions of the young people. It was the one that weaponized the police against the people, and it was the party that chose one group of people to punish. In today's society, it's the liberals that are doing that. So the liberals are more like Nazis than President Trump is.
Well, that was more of a monologue as well. But Adrian, have you got a comment on that?
Well, I mean, whatever your views of the people who protest against President Trump today, to characterize them as Nazis, I think, is deeply offensive and very wrong.
Well,
I don't think they are people who let me finish, Beth. I'll let you come back. I don't think
Beth, if you can, go ahead and let him finish.
Who in any way could be characterized as Nazis. They're, from my experience, such as it is, sincere people who hold passionate views about politics and about President Trump. To characterize them as Nazis or to link them in any way to Nazism, as I say, is wrong and is utterly offensive.
Beth, anything back?
Well, that also applies to President Trump.
What does?
Because the fact that it is offensive to characterize him as Nazi and to characterize what is happening in the U.S. as concentration camps and as Nazi.
Listen, I think that's a great point. And Beth, I'm going to let you go because hopefully we can get Julio on before I have to bust out of here. But that's a really good point. So it is offensive to call somebody a Nazi who maybe isn't a Nazi, but that works both ways, no?
I wouldn't disagree with you on that for a moment, Joe. Let's hear from Julio then. He's had a piece of art at the Anti-Trump Show. Hello, Julio.
Oh, hi there.
Yeah, tell us about your piece of art. What is it?
Right, okay, well, I've been listening to the whole thing. Look,
basically, we got a group of 60 artists to do anti-Trump art, basically. The reason for that is that, like the demonstration today, was the fact that the disdain of people about the dangerous racism, sexism, and narcissism flow that has come into the White House, and even on the lead-up to him being elected. And he has...
So you accuse him of racism, narcissism?
Yes, I have, and I can tell you why, for example. He has focused really on small...
I've got to go in about 20 seconds, Adrian. Let me just very quickly say this to Julio. There was no racism heading into the election. That's bogus. You don't know what you think you know. Feel free to look me up and we can have a discussion about it. Adrian, let's do this again.
Been great to speak to you, Joe. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, UK.
And listeners as well. Julio.
All right, we got to hit a break here on the Joe Pags Show. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Better. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Also Newsmax TV, the Joe Pags Show. Coming your way on a Friday. I'll give you some strings. Horn section. Sorry, protein bar. Protein bar. Carrie.
No.
What day is it anyway? Where's Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's
Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's
Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
You know what? Let's make it a free speech Friday. Come on.
Free speech Friday.
Freedom. Pick it up a notch. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. If you missed the first hour, you missed a lot of fun. Carrie, that was a lot of fun.
I thought it was highly entertaining. Yes.
So here's the way it went down. And for those of you watching on Newsmax TV, you can go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/JoeTalkShow. We did a dual broadcast. I think that I want to say simulcast, but it wasn't. It was more of a dual broadcast. It was like we had two hosts. We had Adrian Goldberg on BBC Live 5 or Channel 5 Live. I'm not sure how they say it. And we had me here on the Joe Pags Show. And I was taking calls from Great Britain or the UK. And he was fielding calls from here. Although Donna, who's originally from England, somehow from Minnesota, got through to talk to him, but was really talking to me. And it was very interesting. Isn't it a bit of a range between 100,000 and 250,000?
I'd say so.
Could we get a little closer to a real number?
It'd be nice.
And look, I'm not calling Adrian out because he has the numbers that he's been given by the broadcasting center there, or by the news, I'm sure, by the news department. What's interesting is there was so much going on. You guys could hear it all right before the show started?
Yes.
Wimbledon was running late. It was an historic match that had never gone that long ever in the history of Wimbledon, which has been around for a long time. So we weren't sure when we could connect. We were able to connect through technology I've got called IPDTL, which is awesome. So it sounded like he was here, sounded like I was there. That was really very cool, was it not?
It was. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
The first phone caller is from Scotland. Now, is it just me? Or for the first few sentences, there was no way of deciphering what he was saying.
Yeah, but the longer you listen to him, then I could start
suddenly
picking up
started
on some
making
things.
Sense. Yeah. So I argued for the first, I'm 51. For the first time in my life, I argued with a guy from Scotland.
And you
I
did.
I think he did pretty well if I understood what he said.
Yes.
If I misunderstood what he said, because he could have been saying, I agree with everything you say. And I was like, well, let me tell you something.
I don't think it was that way. No.
No, it probably wasn't. Yeah. Now, Sam, did you go to Scotland when you went to England or when you went to Great Britain recently?
Yeah, I went to Scotland.
Could you understand them or not?
Yeah, and I could understand the caller. It was pretty clear.
They don't lie.
It was pretty difficult.
That was a rough accent. That was not an easy accent to understand. But let me tell you this. I had a great time.
So did we. I really enjoyed listening to it. I loved listening to the callers who were calling in to the BBC and their thoughts about our president. Because honestly, especially on a day like today, if you look at some of the media reports, it looks like the entire country hates President Trump.
I love that we got a caller who said, no, 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 there are a ton of us out here that like him and that really like what he's doing. I found that to be very interesting. What was even more interesting is that you've got the same talking points there, except there's a different accent.
Yeah, pretty much.
Trump is a racist. Paula, it should be gone, right? Is it all fixed?
Yes.
Okay. Trump is a racist. Trump is Islamophobic. Trump is separating families at the border and throwing children in cages. Mm. Throwing children in cages. Now, the first pictures, of course, that came out with illegal immigrants in cages or in detention centers. I mean, because there's chain link, therefore they're an animal. Come on, stop. The first pictures, of course, were from when Obama was president, and he was putting people in the same sorts of detention. You have to detain them somewhere, and then the children, as soon as the process starts with the parents, are taken to very nice facilities. I'm not really sure what Donna's talking about from Minnesota, that they're taken to some... I mean, she was acting like they were taken to some dungeon. They're not. That's not happening. But having said that, so they believe those things. They believe that the one guy went down the list, the one guy, John...
Mm-hmm.
200 people goodness. Died in Japan because of climate change. Somehow Trump did that. So we had that from John. 110 Palestinians died today because we moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He's just going down to talking points, man. Oh, and I don't really know where the Rust Belt is in the United States, but Trump isn't going to reopen any coal plants. He's not going to reopen any steel plants. What are you talking about? He doesn't even know where the Rust Belt is. So I enjoyed the hell out of it. But what I find... because I'm sweating, is that maybe I'm a little bit too wound up for that. Because I wanted to argue with them.
I know.
And I did with the guy from Scotland. But the other ones are very proper, and God bless, and maybe the format is that you let people speak for 17 minutes, and then you interject at the end if you can remember everything. You know how I work,
John,
right?
Way to keep talking. I know how you do it. Yes.
When somebody calls in, and they give me one point that I want to refute, and another point that I want to refute, I have to interject at that point, because as you've been telling me for 11 years, I'm not smart enough to remember it all.
That's so true. Yes. Yes.
Right. Which I figured that you would agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
So take a breath. Climate change, killing the Japanese. We could have talked about that. Moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Let's talk about that. Get out of the climate accords and the blah, blah, and the steel belt and the rust belt and the blah, blah. Let's talk about that. And we could have. But I actually looked at the clock and we were running out of time in the hour. And he'd been on for like 4 minutes and didn't let anybody breathe.
No,
I don't know that talking. I'm proper enough. I don't know that I'm mannerly enough.
I don't think so.
But I'll say this. Wasn't that great? Wasn't it just fun?
Yeah.
And I think that if we do it again, and we might not ever do it again, people might absolutely have hated what just happened. But if we ever do it again, I think that we'll be a little bit looser. Because Adrian, look, I'd never even spoken to Adrian Goldberg before we did it live. So maybe we know each other a little bit better now. He was certainly offering counterpoint, but when I called him on it, he said, no, we're even handed at the BBC. I'm just countering what you were saying. I'm like, okay, sounds good. But I think that now there's a better flow. What was interesting, the people here in the United States did not know this. You knew this, Carrie, because you heard it. I didn't take a break. I didn't go to commercial break when you guys did. I stayed through the break, and I was debating people and talking to Adrian, and we continued. So it was a solid half hour in the beginning. Then we did the break at the bottom, a solid half hour at the back end. I didn't take the middle breaks as we normally would. So England got a little more of the Joe Pag show tonight than actually the United States did. But, you know, again, the reaction has been very positive so far.
I hope you do it again. And, I really do. It was good radio.
I do, too. And again, I want to throw out kudos to Shelby Travis at our station in Tulsa. We love being on in Tulsa. We get great ratings on Tulsa. I guess they contacted him first. He was like, dude, I think this is up your alley. So I contacted them right away. The funny thing yesterday was they said, how early can we contact you in the morning?
Mm.
And I said, 11 o'clock Eastern. They were like, okay, that's not really early. I'm like, well, I'm not going to get up at 7 a.m. or something. That's not going to happen. But the fact that we were able to, think about 2018, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we were able to make that connection, and the delay was no more than the delay I normally get on a phone call.
I know.
That was nuts
so
to me.
Cool. Yeah.
Very cool. So hopefully we'll do it again. Your thoughts on that, I certainly want to hear from you. We're going to get into the Russians that are all under indictment now from Rosenstein. We'll certainly do that. Bottom of the hour will be Robert Spencer. He's an author. He's got a new book out on jihad. We probably should have talked about that because the people in England, there's right now, there's a cultural issue going on in England. This would have been interesting to talk about there, too. The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS by Robert Spencer. We talked to him about that at the bottom of the hour and much, much more. We'll just get going here on a Friday on the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. Love to hear from you. Make sure you stop by. We're also on Newsmax TV. Glad to be on there as well. I wish everybody could have taken part in what happened in the first hour. For me, it was historic. I don't know how often that happens in the business, to be honest with you. I don't know if people are linking up across the pond a lot, but it was really cool to get perspective from there. What was interesting is I think that they were actually looking for protesters to call in.
Like the one guy,
you know, a bunch of artists and I got together and we painted a bunch of anti-Trump art. Well, that's great. You know what I mean? I mean, people do that here. I mean, whatever. I mean, I like the one guy called and he said, you know, there are more of us over here that like this president than you think. And I think that the purpose of those in the opposition is to make it seem as though the entirety of the country and the entirety of the UK, in fact, hates him. Just like that's the same thing here with the left wing in this country. Everybody has to hate him. And you've got to go down to talking points. He's a Nazi. And by the way, the call from Yakima, I thought, did a great job. These are Nazi-like tactics. So when Adrian said, well, that's utterly offensive to say that, her response, Beth, listen, if you're still listening in Yakima, your response was masterful. It's just as offensive to say that about our president. That was very smart. But I definitely want your thoughts on this. A lot of people hung with us. A lot of you didn't get on because working out the technical details was, I think, key to make sure it sounded good both here and there. I definitely want to hear from you, though, on the experience. Mike, what do you think of Corpus Christi?
Hey, Joe. It's good to talk to you. Hey, this
Thanks,
is a conversation that we've been having about the illegal immigration. It's frightening enough that there are people in our country who think that it's okay for people to come here and be undocumented. We don't know where they're coming from, what their intentions are, what they're going to do when they get here. But when you hear people in Great Britain saying that we should not have sovereignty, it makes you wonder about how they feel about their country. How would they like it if we just, you know, put a bunch of illegal aliens on a boat and sent them to Great Britain? Would they accept them? They've been accepting, you know, Muslims, some of them radical Muslims, for years, and are suffering the consequences of that.
I'm guessing they would not be happy if we loaded up some boats with illegal immigrants from here and sent them there. I'm guessing they would not be happy with that, Mike. Carrie, let me ask you this. And again, you're the news person. I'm not asking you to go outside of your news bubble, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy from, just correct me if I'm wrong, the guy from Scotland said that you should give the children to family members.
Yes, I believe that is what he said. Or that's what happens in their country. That's what happens.
Yeah, but then my response was they just left from Central America. They walked through or somehow traveled through Mexico. They got to the border. They're breaking the law, so we're going to detain them, and they're going to face the music.
There's no family to give the child to. Yeah, when that happens.
Right. So instead, we've decided to do the humane thing, and as the person waits for due process, you take the child, feed the child, clothe the child, give the child a great place to sleep and some recreational activities until mom or dad or whoever this person is goes through the process. I just didn't understand what he was talking about because he kept on saying, ba-ba-da-ba-da, you know, and, what? Who are the family members? You take the kids and what, fly them back to Honduras? What do you mean?
Yeah.
And he really didn't have an answer, and that's why my response to him was very direct. You don't know what you think you know. And I don't say that just to shut people down. I say that because if you had the details, we could probably have a good debate. We could probably really come to terms with, now I get where you're coming from. Do you get where I'm coming from? But I can't do that with somebody who says, just give them to a family member. I'm like, okay, who is that family
member?
Yeah,
it's not that easy when you're talking about what's happening.
You have a phone number or an address? Because I don't have one. So I found that to be, I wasn't really sure what to do with that because, first of all, he's closed-minded. He wasn't going to listen to what I was going to say. But what he was saying didn't make sense. If you come from a place of logic, I can have the discussion with you. Let me go to the phone line and say hi to Chris in Spring Branch. Chris, what's going on?
Well, how you doing, Captain Sexy Pags?
Captain Sexy Pags? Okay, I'll take it.
Well, the reason is for that is because this is the first time I've heard a dual conversation across the pond with somebody. And what brought to light was that the Europeans are being filtered on what exactly is going on. They're being...
Well, Chris, I want to interject this. You're right. Remember when he read all the headlines, I said, just because those headlines say it doesn't make it so. I mean, that's the news that they're getting. Every headline said exactly what they wanted the people to believe, which is kind of nuts.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's going on over here. And, you know, it was so refreshing to hear that people over there like Trump and some don't, but the uneducated are going to have their heads in the sand, where they're not going to listen to anything but what the is in print or on Facebook or on Twitter. It's crap.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm with you.
I just had to tell you, Saxy Pags, Captain Saxy Pags, and it was so good to be able to listen to that because it was awesome. It was the first time that I've ever heard anything like that.
Well, Chris, I appreciate it, and that's why we agreed to do it. Carrie, from now on, you have to call me that.
I will not. I refuse.
Captain?
To call you
Saxy
that.
Pags.
No. Not
that's what you have to call me.
It was
a cool thing, and I hope that we'll do it again. I've heard from them already since they were yelling at a lot of profanity. They were not happy with it. No, they actually said they thought it went very well. They used the word brilliant a lot. Almost
really?
To the point where it's not
really?
Even important anymore.
No, I don't
a lot of the brilliant.
So. No.
It was, should I forward
now
you the email?
Yes, please
should
do.
The email?
Brilliant? Okay.
I'm looking back right now.
How many times did I use the word brilliant?
17.
Ah, okay. Yeah, forward that to me. I'd like to read it.
What do you mean?
Forward that to me. What they said about it. About how brilliant you were. Yeah. The 17 brilliant.
Actually, Sam caught this on one of the breaks or before we started the show. He didn't even say the whole word brilliant. What did he say, Sam?
He said brill.
He said, okay, brill.
No, it was brill.
It's like brilliant was too much to say, so he said brill.
It's a hip English way to say it.
Yeah, I guess.
Brill.
I'm going to start using brill a lot more. You know, we didn't have time, but I was going to give him the my English accent.
You know, Polo and I were talking about that, and I was hoping you weren't going to embarrass us all by starting out with that. So thank you that you did not
bloody
do
hell?
That.
On the Bay Bay say? I should have done
horrible.
It.
Oh, man.
I should have.
No.
What? That would have been great.
They'd never have us back.
Brill.
They'd never have us back.
It would have been brill.
But not.
No,
I'm brill.
I don't think they're going to have us back anyway. I don't think they realized that I was going to argue as much as I did with them. Let me go to Nathan. Nathan, make it quick for me. What's happening?
Hey, Joe, guys. Love your show, man.
Thanks, brother. What's up?
Hey, I was just going to comment on the family residential centers that they have that they put these immigrants in. I actually built the addition and the one that they built in Carn City, Texas, and I was just going to comment on how nice these facilities actually are. They're not.
Well, Donna, who's listening in Minnesota, says that they aren't nice at all. Maybe one of them is, but none of the rest of them are. Fill her in as she's listening as to what they really look like.
Yeah, they're nice. We were actually had to do work in the existing facility, and they have full on classrooms with teachers, a courtyard with a soccer field, a cafeteria, a medical center where they get shots or get checkups and everything like that. We did work inside their actual living quarters. It's not a resort by any means, but they're nice. And coming from someone who grew up on the border in Arizona and in California doing work in orphanages and building houses over there, I know what these people come from, some of them, what they come from and what it looks like. And what they're being put in America is a million times better than what they got over there.
I gotta go. I appreciate you telling us. Look, he's a guy who's actually built them. So don't believe what you're hearing and what you're seeing in some pictures. Believe what's really happening. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Also, Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have back a great author. He's a guy that you've seen on my program before, and you've heard him as well. Robert Spencer. Jihad Watch is the organization, right, Robert?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, is it jihadwatch.org or .com? How do people find you?
Both will work.
Okay, great. We've got a brand new book coming out. Well, you do, and we're going to talk about it now. It's going to come out the first week of August, August 7th, The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. I've got to start here, and I think we talked about this last time, but I've got to start here. Do you live your life like constantly under threat that somebody's going to come and get you? Because you're bold enough to not really care to sugarcoat Islam. You actually tell the story the way Muhammad told the story. You actually are true to the abrogation and abrogators, and the whole idea that Islam somehow got nicer isn't true. It actually has gotten much nastier. Do you live in fear all the time?
No, it's not worthwhile to live in fear, Joe, but I don't have any illusions. It's not as if I'm going to live forever if I don't do this. And I have gotten so many death threats, I have no idea how many. And they have tried to kill me twice, but they didn't. So I'm just going to keep going. They're going to do what they're going to do. But as far as I'm concerned, I remember the editor of the Charlie Hebdo magazine, who was one of the people that the jihadis killed for drawing Muppet. And he said, I'd rather die standing up than live on my knees. And I agree.
How did we get here? Because if we go back in our history, and correct me if I get anything wrong, because you're the expert, Thomas Jefferson, from what I understand, did distribute the Quran, but there were pages in the beginning of it saying, look, this is who we have to worry about. We try to pretend like he loved Islam or something, which isn't true. How did we get here to where we pretend that history is different than it really was?
Well, there's a concerted effort. This is one of the reasons why I wrote the book, Joe, because there's a concerted effort nowadays to rewrite history for the purpose of furthering political agendas that are contemporary. And one of the things is that they use Thomas Jefferson for, because he had a Quran in his library, and they try to say, see, he loved Islam, he was influenced by Islam. In reality, Thomas Jefferson was facing the Barbary pirates, who were actually jihadis, who told him, and he wrote to Congress explaining that they told him when he met the Moroccan ambassador in London, and this is all in the book, that they were fighting because the Quran commanded them to fight against infidels. And that's why they were seizing the American ships, and they were never going to stop doing it because the Quran wasn't going to change. Jefferson got the Quran and read it because he was following the principle, know your enemy, not because he was some sort of proto-multiculturalist.
The name of the book is The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. His name is Robert Spencer. Go to jihadwatch.com. What's interesting about the name of the book is people are either lying about or they're confused about what the word jihad means. Does it mean struggle or does it mean holy war? What does it mean?
Well, actually, it does mean struggle. And the thing is that there are all kinds of struggles in Arabic, just like you can use the word struggle in English in so many different contexts, a vast civilizational struggle and also the struggle to quit smoking or something like that.
Right.
And so it's the same thing in Islam and in Arabic. The Islamic Republic of Iran has a Department of Agricultural Jihad. That doesn't mean they're blowing up the farm. It means that they're trying to struggle to increase the crop yields.
Right.
And in Islamic theology, however, jihad primarily does mean warfare against unbelievers to establish the rule of Islamic law over them and to subjugate them as inferiors. And as I show in the book, this is something that Muslims have done throughout history, from Spain to India, in the Middle East, in Africa, in North America, in Europe, in Asia, India, China. It's all over the world and uninterrupted for 1,400 years.
The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS is the name of the book. Can you pre-order it now, Robert?
Yes, you can. And it's the first and only, actually, history of the entirety of jihad. Well, nobody else has ever done this.
I hope people will go and get it. I mean, I love that we have you on to talk about it. Let me ask you some quick hits, because I'm not an expert on Islam, but I know enough about it to get in trouble. So let me just ask you some very direct questions. Is it true that through taqiyya, somebody who is a Muslim can lie and it's not a sin?
Yeah, if he's under pressure. The idea is that if he's under pressure from the infidels, then he can mislead them and make them think he's on their side so that they don't hurt him. And that is something that is very broadly applied nowadays.
Modern day Islamists or Muslims will have us believe that Allah is the proper name of the Abrahamic God that the rest of us follow. But in the history of Islam, it appears as though Allah was really the moon god. Which one is it?
Well, Allah is the word that actually Jewish, Arabic-speaking Jews and Christians also use for the God of the Bible.
Okay.
And so it's not so much the word, which is used in Christian contexts and Jewish contexts as well. But yes, there is a connection between pre-Islamic pagan Arabic gods and the moon god and so on and Allah in Islam. But really, I think people make more of that than is warranted. Okay. You don't need to go back to the moon god to find that Allah is the god of war, which is what the moon god is, because there's so much enjoining war in the Quran. It's very obvious without needing to make that kind of a connection, which is actually tenuous.
It's The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. That's the name of the book. His name is Robert Spencer. Go to jihadwatch.com. Is a woman, quite literally, if you're a fundamentalist Islamist or Muslim, is a woman really only 50% as important as a man? Is that true?
Yeah, certainly directly in terms of testimony in court. The Quran says that you either get one man to testify or two women. And so a woman's testimony is worth half that of a man. When it comes to inheritance, the Quran says just that a woman should get less than her brothers when the property of the parents is being split up. And a man is able to beat a disobedient woman, according to the Quran. Infidel women can be taken as sex slaves. And this is something that's in the Quran. And as I show in the history of jihad, it's something that's been practiced throughout Islamic history. It wasn't invented by ISIS.
It is Robert Spencer, the history of jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. So let's talk about philosophy of Islam today. I know some people who are Muslim. They don't live like that. Are they living to whatever is comfortable for them and calling it Islam? Are they kidding themselves? Are they hiding the true Islam? Because clearly they're not following they're not following Sharia law. They're not following fundamental Islam. If you follow it the way that it's written, it gets more and more violent and more suppressive of people other than men for some reason. As you read along, it's the law, it's the rules of abrogation. I mean, it's not nicer as you get old. It actually was much nicer before, but the later laws changed all that. So those who are following Islam today, are they just fooled or well, do they know what they're doing?
You know, Joe, there's a spectrum really. And I can't generalize about it because there are some people who know that these things are taught and they would just rather not deal with it and they ignore it. There's some people who are against it. Some people who don't know. And that's actually quite a large number, because we have to remember that if you're a Muslim, you've got to pray in Arabic. You go to the mosque and you pray, it's all in Arabic. And the Muslims in Pakistan, in Indonesia, in India, in Iran, in Afghanistan, Arabic is not the language of those countries. And they learn the Quran, they learn syllables by rote without necessarily knowing every detail about what it means.
Yeah.
So they might not even know these things are taught, even though they're very familiar with what exactly it says in the Arabic, but they don't know what it means.
The name of the book is The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. His name is Robert Spencer, jihadwatch.com. What's the draw of Islam? How do you get, because you hear about ISIS and people say, ISIS isn't Islam. I mean, Obama said that all the time. Of course, ISIS is not only is it Islam, it's the most fundamental Islam that we probably see on earth. So what's the draw for a 15-year-old from Brussels to meet somebody who's an ISIS person online and say, yeah, I'll go and fight with you in Syria? How does that work exactly?
Well, it's a win-win situation. You go fight in Syria, and if you win, you get the property, including the women, of the people that you kill. And that is perfectly permissible within Islam. There's a whole chapter of the Quran, chapter 8, entitled The Spoils of War.
Yeah.
And showing, saying you can take all that. And if you lose, then you get the virgins of paradise, who are also described in the Quran. And so either way, you win.
You didn't hear or see this, but last hour I did a dual broadcast with the BBC, and we were protesting, you know, the President Trump, and some people from England wanted to talk to us, and we wanted to talk to people in England, and it was kind of interesting how it worked out. But you've got a guy, and some people call it London Stan or Londanistan, like Katie Hopkins will unabashedly talk about how it's becoming overwhelmingly Islamic in London. There are people there saying that we're Islamophobic and we're all peaceful brothers and sisters. We should just accept the religions of everybody. What do you think is really happening in a place like London when you see it transforming as it is?
Well, the thing is that there are some Muslims who are peaceful and not interested in waging jihad.
Right.
But in the religion, in the Quran, in the teachings of Muhammad, there are imperatives to wage war against, overcome, and subjugate the non-Muslims and make them second-class citizens, even in their own countries.
Yeah.
And we've seen this happen. This is what my new book is all about, actually, showing how that happened in Egypt, across North Africa, Syria, places that we take for granted, though that's the heartland of the Muslim world. Well, it wasn't always. Those were Christian lands. And it's the same thing that's happening now in London, that even if not all Muslims are on board with the program, some of them are. And they're getting increasingly aggressive and assertive, demanding special accommodation. Islamic law gives Muslims a status above that of non-Muslims. And so we see that being asserted increasingly with the special breaks for Muslims from businesses, prayer times in schools, and so on. And all of it is leading toward ultimately establishing in an official manner the supremacy of Islam and Muslims. This is on its way in Britain and is a program that's being explicitly put forward by some of the Muslims there.
And by the way, the whole prayer time thing is bogus. I know you're supposed to pray then, but if you miss it, you just make it up later. But they're asking for special dispensation at work, at school. No, I have to pray right now. My religion says so. That's not true. Why doesn't everybody read the Quran and realize that you can make it up later? Because we're bending over backward here.
It's just to get the special status. It's to reassert the principle that Muslims must always be accommodated, and there is never a time when they must accommodate others.
Wow.
But the non-Muslims are the ones who have to change their behavior to suit the Muslims. And that's the principle being established and reinforced.
And you'll find out more about that in the history of jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. You can pre-order it right now. His name is Robert Spencer, jihadwatch.com. Last question, quick answer to a very complicated question. Is Islam a governmental construct, or is it a religion?
It's both, because a religion claims to relate human beings to God, and Islam claims to do that. And it also is a societal, governmental system that is authoritarian, expansionist, violent, and supremacist.
Yeah, can Sharia law coexist with our Constitution was maybe a better way to ask.
No. because it denies the freedom of speech, the freedom of conscience, and the equality of rights of all people under the law. So it's absolutely against the Constitution. Muslims individually may be able to live in under constitutional
law. And many do, right.
Yeah, it's not compatible with it.
I got you. It's the history of jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. Robert Spencer is his name. Jihadwatch.com or .org. Robert, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
All right, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pag Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Lots of people want to be heard. The calls are still all about the BBC thing. Probably, you know, should have continued that for a couple of hours. It was interesting.
I've got a lot of questions.
No, go ahead.
I've got a lot of questions. Are you going to replay that? Are you going to post it somewhere, the first hour you did?
Well, I can't replay it because it's the entire hour. If it were an interview, I could probably you know, put it together separately. But what Karina does after every show is she puts it up on iHeartRadio and puts it up in the podcast for you to download and whatever.
Okay.
So I don't know if all 3 hours are included. I think they're all included in one podcast. But since it was the first hour, you just listen to, you know, download that podcast and listen to it. Then you can go from there.
Okay.
One comment. You see, on Twitter, I can't see your comment unless you follow me or I follow you. Otherwise, you can tell me what piece of crap I am all you want. I won't see it. Which generally happens, by the way. But one guy's like, well, Adrian clearly is a much softer and much more, a much better broadcast, blah, blah, blah. This guy's from England. And the other side was ranting. And if you say it enough many times, people will believe it. I just, you know. And my answer is, I guess you figured that out in 55 minutes.
Mm.
For me, I like to mix it up, man. I'm a scrapper. Let's do this.
I know. I like to fight.
It was a different sensibility in that the people who were protesting Trump and anti-Trump and angry were still like, the climate change. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's
let's
so
go,
different
man.
From here. It's so different.
Let's go.
I loved it.
Let's do it. Oh, by the way, if you want to go see it now, a friend of mine reminds me, it's on Facebook. I did the first hour on Facebook Live.
Oh, cool.
So stop by facebook.com/JoeTalkShow or just go to joepags.com, click on the Facebook link, scroll down. It's the last thing that I posted on Facebook. You could actually watch the video of it. And the cool part of doing it that way, although I want you to download the podcast, is you'll hear the lead up to it where we're setting up the technical stuff with the people in Great Britain. And Carrie, I think that I hear you on there too. We definitely hear Polo. We hear Sam.
Mm-hmm.
You hear sort of the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I will have to say, usually during our commercial breaks, I hear nothing but music. But I even told Polo because we could hear you too. And I said, turn that up because I want to hear you on the BBC and reacting to it. I mean, it was just really, I thought it was great radio. I hope you get to do it again.
It was very interesting. Yeah, I hope that we can too. And next time, you know, we'll be comfortable enough. Hopefully I can include you more and so on. You will actually hear on the Facebook site, you'll hear the extra 10 minutes that I did.
Yeah.
Because there were 5 minutes of breaks here in the United States that we spoke through in Great Britain. So yeah, go check it out. Facebook.com/JoeTalkShow. I appreciate the reminder. Let me remind you also about Superbeats. Superbeats, you know, listen, as we get older, we know that our bodies start changing. Mine started changing, so I'm in the gym working out like a crazy man. But I'm also taking Superbeats because when you drink Superbeats, it helps you with your energy, helps you get past that fatigue. It's all caused by a decrease in circulation. I found that if I start giving my body what it needs now, I can promote natural, healthy circulation and keep on feeling great as the years go by. Drinking Superbeats helps me with that. Superbeats promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. Only Superbeats is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to give your body what it needs as you age, call 800-516-8389 or go to joelovesbeets.com with your first order. Get another 30-day supply of Superbeats free, plus indicator strips to see how Superbeats is working for you. You also get free shipping, so check it out right now. 800-516-8389 or go to joelovesbeats.com. Do it right now. All right, people have been holding for a long time. I've got time to grab one quickly here. Let me say hello to Shane in Michigan. Shane, what's up?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Let me just say, first of all, I've been on the Trump train since day one, and one of my favorite things to do if I'm having a bad day is get on YouTube and look at some of the videos of Trump can't win. It just makes my day. But here's the point that I'd like to make. I want to know
what's going to happen after Donald Trump serves his term. We've come this far. And, you know, I was a big Ross Perot fan in the past, and I still think to this day that if Ross Perot had been elected, we wouldn't have some of the issues that we have now. But what are we going to do when Trump's time has come to leave office? Are we going to go back to an establishment candidate, or is there someone else that's going to come along to take his place to continue on with what he's trying to do for the American people?
Well, I think, Shane, I think it's a great question. I think what we have to do, and hopefully he gets two terms, but what we have to do is get somebody who understands that America really responded to America first. America really does want to do better than we've done in the past. We really do want to be the superpower. We really do want to be the world leader. We really don't want to be taken advantage of. And you get somebody in there who's establishment, and you're going to start rolling back what Trump has done so positively for the country. It's a great question. I think you need somebody who's going to promise to continue the path he's put us on. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Coming right back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
The Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. It's the Joe Pags Show. Coming your way on a Friday, a Free Speech Friday.
Free Speech Friday!
Freedom.
Freedom!
Is Carrie Lockie wearing the bedazzled 1200 WOAI shirt today?
Sparkly.
I don't have one of those.
I'm sorry.
I should get one like that, the same exact size.
Oh, really? And we'll wear it on the same day together?
I look good squeezing into small shirts.
No, please don't do that to me.
I'm finally starting to cool down a little bit. By the way, it's 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. The responses continue to come in after we did sort of a dual. It wasn't a simulcast. We're calling it a dual broadcast.
Makes sense.
Where they broadcasted there, I broadcasted here. You know what I mean?
Definitely do more of that. Awesome.
One guy, Dennis, says he's from... As an Englishman appalled by the disgusting insult by the loony left in the UK who are destroying our country and culture, apologies to my great U.S. friends. So that's good. So there you go.
Okay.
People from England are stopping by now.
Very good.
Saying, you're right. They were wrong. Yeah. And again, the one guy from Scotland said, what's he doing? I had no idea what the guy, you know what I mean? Like the first two sentences, I had no clue.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to be rough, dude. This is going to be rough. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Bottom of this hour, it is going to be Dinesh D'Souza. He is an author. He's a movie maker. He's got an event coming up in Fort Bend County, for those of you listening in the Houston area. And get together, hang out with his wife and with him. He also has a new movie and book coming out in about 3 weeks' time, something like that. And he's got great comments on what's happening in the UK, great comments on the president, how he's being received, great comments on the... people calling him a Nazi and whatever else. He just really has a great way of using actual history to reverberate the truth, whereas it's been hidden for many years. I mean, people really do believe that the Republican Party was the party of the bad guys for all these years. It's just not the case. The Democrats were the evildoers in this country. And if you really look at what's going on now, although they're not doing it with the hoods on, they're not doing it by burning the crosses, and they're not doing it by you know, turning the fire hoses on people marching down the street. What they're doing is they're doing it through entitlements, through Section 8. They're doing it through school lunches and so on to keep control of the people. And a lot of people are starting to wake up. So we talked to Dinesh at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around for that. Of course, the big story of the day, other than what happened over in England, in Uck. I didn't have a chance to tell them that we actually call it Uck there.
Probably a good thing you did not.
Did not have a chance to say, hey, really glad to be on an Uck today.
Probably wouldn't care.
But other than that, the other big story, of course, is Rod Rosenstein. I'm going to say Stein from now on. Rod Rosenstein coming out and announcing indictments from the Mueller probe on 12 people. And Kerry's going to have that. 12 Russians, in fact. Mm-hmm. Kerry's going to have that. What timing, huh? This is right when Trump is going to meet with Putin.
On Monday.
On Monday, right?
Yes.
right, so we'll have that story in a moment. Let me grab a quick phone call. A lot of people have been holding to talk about that dual broadcast with the BBC off the top of the program. Let me say hello and welcome to Dan, who is in Minnesota. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Joe. Love your show, man. It's so good to hear
thanks,
you
man.
Today. I thought, what subject can I debate Joe at and when? And I go, there probably isn't a whole lot, but I think there is some. Maybe. It was fun. You know what? What the scary part is, it's kind of like the Inspector General view by liberals, thinking that, oh, this is the epitome of truth, the pinnacle of truth is the Inspector General. And with the Brits, the scary thing is it's the BBC. And I was thinking, if you were to challenge the BBC's accuracy and or truth telling, maybe they wouldn't let you on the show again. You know what I mean? It's like a government controlled propaganda machine or leftist controlled propaganda machine.
Well, I think, the good news, Dan, is I went into the conversation having never watched BBC News. I don't watch it. I don't live there. It's not important to me to see what's happening there. Having said that, I made sure that I paid close attention to everything the host said. And I think Adrian did a fine job. But again, he was giving a counterpoint to just about everything I was saying. And I made sure that I corrected whatever fallacy I heard from the listeners. Yeah. And I thought that was effective, even though it just made them madder. And they just wanted to say he was more of a racist and he's more of an Islamophobe. I mean, when I said 92% of all Muslims can still come to the country and leave the country, the response from the host was, and love him like a brother, yeah, but to be fair, those countries are all Muslim. So what? They only comprise 8%. This isn't a thing.
Right, and it is not a complete travel ban. There is some allowances in that ban, even in those countries, I perceive.
Right. You have to go through a process of proving that you're not going to be a danger to our country. It's not a big deal.
Do you think it's easier for them to understand us clearly speaking Americans, or is it harder for them? As hard for them to understand us as it was for us to understand them? Like that one guy from Wales or Scotland or whatever.
Yeah, he's from Scotland. Yeah. It's an interesting question. I actually asked somebody once because I really, really, I love the Australian accent. I think that's very, very cool. And I once said, do I sound like I have an accent to you? And they said, oh, yeah, it's the exact same thing. We hear it very, very differently than you hear it. So, no, I don't think they were any easier to understand than they are. Although I think everybody is easier to understand than the Scottish, right?
Probably. I would think so. I mean, I don't know. It was a lot of fun. And thanks for that. We're in a battle in Minnesota for our lives politically. And I without your permission, I won't talk about it. But if you're familiar with Minnesota politics right now, the left is good, ready to push us off the edge. And
I got to tell you, nationally, as you, Dan, nationally, as you know, we were being pushed off the edge by the left as well. And what happened? Trump got elected. You guys can overcome in Minnesota. You can overcome the Governor Doofus. You can overcome Keith Ellison. You can overcome these people who are running these cities, you know, these mayors. You can. You really can. Don't feel defeated.
No,
just defeat them.
I jumped into a campaign. It's a fabulous campaign. Cool. Jeff Johnson for governor of Minnesota.
Okay.
Tim Pawlenty.
I don't know Jeff Johnson, but I'll look into him. I don't know him, but you know, anything would be better than another far leftist like Dayton.
God help us.
All right, brother. I appreciate you, Dan. Thank you. Yeah. Kerry, I would think that it's easier to understand me than it was the guy from Scotland.
Well, not for them, probably. It's so different.
I mean, I'm not insulting. I'm not cutting him down. I'm quite literally not cutting him down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that was a hard accent to understand. What's interesting is Adrian seemed to have no problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They hear that all the time. Yeah. This American accent is probably very, very weird to them. It sounds different.
Very, very, very grovelly and direct and blah, blah. There's no finesse to it.
Mean American.
Who are we? A bunch of Trump people.
But
by the way, can I just put this out there? When you inflate a baby that's supposed to be the depiction of our president, do you think you've won the argument?
They think they did, I think.
If your country does that, you've actually proven that you're the ass wagon. It's not like, oh, look, we did the baby Trump. No.
We got him.
No. you lost. If that's the best you could come up with in a protest.
Trump baby float.
Dude. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We're going to have that story about the 12 Russians who were brought up on charges today. When we come back, your thoughts on that and whatever else is on your mind on a Free Speech Friday. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. You know, you want your blood pressure to be at a healthy level, right? You want your numbers to be right. Got to check and see what's going on. Your heart health is what we're talking about. Your overall well-being. Blood pressure is very important to all that. If you're looking for a way to help support healthy blood pressure levels with a simple lifestyle change, good news for you. It's a super vegetable that's great for your heart. It's beets. And Super Beets is a convenient way to get the benefits of beets every single day. Super Beets provides a nutrient that helps support healthy blood pressure by working with the body's own natural systems. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to maintain healthy blood pressure, call 800-516-8389, 800-516-8389, or joelovesbeets.com, joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets free, plus indicator strips to see how they're working for you. Free shipping, too. Call 800-516-8389 or go online, joelovesbeets.com. Make that happen. All right, Carrie, if you don't mind, fill us in on this story, the indictments by Rosenstein, 12 Russians. What's the deal?
Mm-hmm. From Fox News, a federal grand jury has indicted 12 Russian intelligence officers for allegedly hacking emails from the Hillary Clinton campaign and Democratic Party during the 2016 election, the Justice Department announced Friday. And the Internet allows foreign adversaries to attack America in new and unexpected ways, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein said during a press conference. All 12 defendants are members of GRU, the Russian intelligence agency. And the case stems from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe into Russia's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. It comes as President Trump plans to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin for a summit in Helsinki on Monday. The indictment amounted to the clearest allegation yet of Russian meddling in the election, blaming Moscow for the email hacking scandal that rocked the 2016 race by revealing embarrassing and politically damaging discussions by major Democrats. And the charges swiftly fuel calls for Democratic lawmakers for Trump to cancel his Putin summit. But as Trump continues to describe the probe as a witch hunt, the White House downplayed the allegations. Today's charges include no allegations of knowing involvement by anyone on the campaign and no allegations that the alleged hacking affected the election results, said Lindsey Walters, the deputy White House press secretary. This is consistent with what we've been saying all along. Of the 12 defendants, 11 are charged with conspiracy to commit computer crimes, 8 counts of aggravated identity theft, and conspiracy to launder money. Another is charged with a separate conspiracy to commit computer crimes. The 29-page indictment says starting in March 2016, the Russian agents used a variety of means to hack the email accounts of volunteers and employees of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Her campaign chairman, John Podesta, famously had his emails leaked during the campaign. They also targeted campaign committees like the Democratic National Committee and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the indictment said.
There you go. Indictment's out. So when Mueller was leaving and closing up the special counsel office, what did he say? Anything?
I don't know. Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Because it, for some reason, there's still a special counsel office open, and for some reason, he still has a job. I mean, it came to fruition. They charged a bunch of Russians. And by the way, the WikiLeaks founder, Julian, say it with me.
Assange.
He said it wasn't from a nation state. He says that's not where he got the information. What I've often wondered is, why not then release who you got it from? Because now with these indictments, now with this rounding up of 12 rogue Russians, if he didn't get it from the Russians, say who you got it from. Unless he's going to say he got it from one of the 12, maybe he'll say that. I don't know. Well, by the way, I don't think he's still on the line. Maybe he is. It's a guy who did not like having callers from England on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we'll try to get to him in a little while. But here's my direct thought on this. Now he went away, it looks like. Got Lloyd from Virginia didn't like having callers on from England.
Brady?
Bloody hell, Lloyd!
Oh, no. Please.
Why?
Stop. You can't.
I actually told them during the break, I said, Adrian, if you're ever off, just let me know. I'll fill in. They won't know if it's you or me.
Yeah, I think they would.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Not only is the accent different, your approach to talk radio is very different.
So by different, you're saying better. Gotcha. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Isn't it time for them to close up shop at the special counsel? Isn't it time for Robert Mueller to say, look, indicted a bunch of people, bunch of people are probably going to end up going to jail. My work is done here. Not going to happen, but isn't that what should happen? So with the indictments coming out, as Kerry just relayed to you, the Democrats, some Democrats, want the president to cancel his meeting with Putin. So don't meet with the leader of Russia and keep him in check and stare him down and tell him to stop it. Avoid him. So according to the Democrats, I guess their new way of doing business politically is don't meet with anybody we don't want you to meet with. And when you don't meet with them, we're going to call you out for not meeting with them. That's pretty much what it is, right?
Kind of
seems to be
like
what
that
it
way.
Is. Right. So they've got to make up their minds. Let me go to the phone line and say hi to Patrick, who's in Kansas. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing tonight?
Living a dream, man. What's happening?
Yeah, well, I think Trump's a good president. He's doing a good job.
And he is.
My thing was with the whole immigration thing.
Hold on a second. Yeah, see, it was good. And then he, like, walked into the bathroom or something. Then it became, rich, mean,
dude.
Yeah. Then we couldn't hear him. So, Patrick, I'm going to take you back. What we heard was that he's a good president with the immigration thing, and then it started breaking up. So pick it up from there. Here we go.
Okay. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. My whole thing with the what I'm not hearing from either Democrat or Republican is why isn't these people's government taking ownership of their own people? I mean, why... can you hear me?
Yes.
I broke him off.
I'm going to let him go because now he thinks I cut him off, and I didn't cut him off, but I'm going to cut him off. Now he's cut off. Yes, it's a good point. It's an excellent question. Actually, I forget who said it the other day. I don't know who the respondent was, but it was very wise. It was on Twitter, I think. Somebody was talking about these people are paying taxes. They should have the right to vote. And the response was they do in their home countries. They all have the right to vote. Go back and vote in some people that won't make your country so undesirable that you need to leave. I'm not going to pull a CNN and say the S-hole word.
Please.
They said that over and over and over again. And I'm not even suggesting that these countries are S-holes. But obviously they're so undesirable that you can't wait to get your butt out of there. So maybe fix your own country. You've got the right to vote. You're a citizen there. Wouldn't that be good? Let me go back to the phone line, say hi to Patrick in Minnesota. Patrick, what's up?
Hey, I was calling from Little Mogadishu, talking about the last couple Minnesotans that called.
Okay.
The guy that called, totally agree with him, Jeff Johnson over Tim Pawlenty all day. But that the British lady that called from Minnesota, that's the reason why we need to stop immigration from everywhere, not just from what this so-called like Muslim ban. We need to stop it from everywhere because Americans want Republicans and everybody else doesn't.
What's interesting is Donna's called the show before. That's who called in the first hour. She's from Great Britain but lives in Minnesota now. And I thought that she was very, very smart-minded. I thought that she was very even-handed and somebody who really did research what she was going to say before she said it. But then she called it in the first hour and basically said I was lying about the kids and where they're being held. And we've got all this great information showing that that's exactly where they're being taken to. They're being taken to recreational places while their parents face the music for breaking our laws. So I'm not really sure why she was so wound up, but generally speaking, when Donna calls in, she's more level-headed than that.
I mean, I see people from all sides, from all countries. Doesn't matter if it's a Muslim country or not. Just cut immigration from every country. And we should just say we're letting everybody assimilate and give it 4 years and you can apply again.
All right. I got you, Patrick. Thank you. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. I was actually surprised when Donna called in the first hour because, again, she's called the show before and has given her thoughts about being an immigrant from England. But it was kind of interesting to me that she sort of clicked back into that sensibility and that mentality, which was odd to me. Stop believing what you want to believe. Actually take the information in and learn. You had a guy who's building these facilities saying that it's nicer than where most of these people have ever spent time. Dinesh D'Souza, when we come back, stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
A big announcement from the Justice Department today. And, of course, we'll also pop a top. Join us, won't you? Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have back author, movie maker, friend of mine, just a great guy all around. It's Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, how are you?
Hey, Joe. Great to be on your show, as always.
Yeah, it's always an absolute pleasure to have you on. First and foremost, you're going to have an event coming up in Fort Bend County, right?
Yeah, we're very excited. It's actually Debbie, my wife, is going to sing. And this is the song that she performs in the new movie, Death of a Nation.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to speak. So it's in Fort Bend County, July 27th, and it's sponsored by the Fort Bend County GOP.
I want you to get a hold of Dinesh via DineshDeSouza.com. Find out more of Death of a Nation, more about it. It's a brand new movie coming out. The companion book is coming out as well. I want you to make plans to go and see this, go and read the book. Dinesh, you didn't know this, but the first hour of my show tonight, I did a dual broadcast with the BBC. They broadcast my show. I broadcast their show. We sort of took calls from both countries. I'm watching what's unfolding there, and I listened for a little while to 50,000 or whatever it was that showed up in the middle of the square who were complaining about Donald Trump is Islamophobic. Donald Trump is tearing babies apart at the border. Donald Trump thinks Nazis are fine people. Dinesh, are these the same idiots that are doing it here? I mean, this isn't organic, right?
No, I think it's a reverberation of the American debate into Europe. I mean, think of it this way. In 1968, when there were massive Vietnam protests in America, you suddenly saw Vietnam protests in France, in England. Now, remember, England and France weren't fighting the Vietnam War.
Right.
But it was just that their crazies listened to our crazies, and so they kind of get their vibe from the American left.
Are there talking points from Twitter and Facebook? Is that, or are they watching our media? Because again, they're saying exactly the same thing as Antifa and BLM and all these people and La Raza and Lulac and Maldef, but they're just saying it with an English accent.
Part of it is that Trump is an outsider to the American debate. He's reconfiguring things from within America. And you can just imagine how clueless people are looking at from the outside. Now, some of this, of course, has to do with Europe, which is essentially the fact that the old NATO alliance. I mean, remember, the NATO alliance pulled together to fight the Cold War.
Right.
Some of it's the residue from World War II. We were paying for Germany and Japan's defense because we didn't want the remilitarization of Germany and Japan. Well,
right.
Does any sane person think that that's a problem now? No. So Trump is calling all this into question, and these people are acting as if he's doing something very radical, whereas in fact we have this encrusted, obsolete alliance that needs to be reexamined.
I want to go back for a second, if I can. It's Dinesh D'Souza, a great movie maker. He's an author. He is a lecturer. But I want to talk just a little bit about your wife, Debbie, who's from Venezuela. And this is why I want people to go and find out about this this event in Richmond, Texas, and make sure that you go if you possibly can. Dinesh, they can find out more on your website, right?
Yes. I mean, if you want to find out about the event, it's fbcgop.org. So that's Fort Bend County GOP.org.
Perfect.
But my website, more about our movie.
Yeah.
Debbie's from Venezuela. And the
right.
thing is, here are people mouthing these slogans about socialism. There's one country that is actually putting socialism into effect, and that's Venezuela.
Right.
And so if you actually want a laboratory for how socialism works or doesn't work, you need to look there. And it's kind of odd that the media doesn't cover Venezuela even while it keeps chanting about socialism.
Well, I want to say this, and I hope that you take this in the tone and tenor in which I say it. I love talking to you, but I've talked to your wife even longer because her experience, I mean, again, you're both a couple of very, very interesting people who you can talk to for the next 3 months. But hearing Debbie talk about her homeland, you know, she's fully American now. She loves this country and would do anything for it. I know that. But to see the sadness and the stern face that she'll put on when talking about what has happened from the land of her birth. I mean, people die if they disagree with the government. People die as government mobs and basically, you know, like cartels show up and take the food before they can get it. We really in this country don't have any clue, do we?
No. Now, you know, interestingly, Debbie and I are both immigrants. We came to this country about the same time, but our experiences are different.
Yeah.
I came from a very poor country to a rich country, and I was amazed by American abundance, American opportunity. But when Debbie grew up in Venezuela, and she moved to South Texas, Venezuela was more prosperous.
Yeah.
She actually felt a decline of her standard of living. And so to see a prosperous, successful, democratic country capsize and plunge into the abyss like this, I mean, what a horrifying experience.
Yeah, it's Dinesh D'Souza. Go to DineshDeSouza.com. And again, it's fbcgop.org to find out more about the event, to spend time with Dinesh and Debbie D'Souza. It's a night you won't forget. And if he's lecturing anywhere near where you are, if he's speaking, go in and check and take that in as well. Back to the president. He shows up to talk about NATO. He's sitting down to breakfast, and whoever the guy was, and I probably should know who he was, but he basically, you know, makes a statement, then says, "What do you think about that, Mr. President?" And that was the wrong thing to say, even over breakfast. Because I think the president then said, pass me a bagel. What the hell is Germany doing? But, you know, having a pipeline with Russia, giving them billions of dollars as we're spending billions of dollars protecting you from the country you're about to enrich. Dinesh, was he off base or was he right on?
Well, I do think that with Trump, you know, there's a strength and a weakness to him, and it comes from the same place.
Yeah.
The strength of Trump is his candor, his bravery, his willingness to say the politically incorrect thing. On the other hand, it is true that diplomacy is a kind of dance. It's a sort of waltz.
Yeah.
And there are certain routines to it. And so, you know, I'd like to see Trump finesse that, preserve the candor, but at the same time reserve diplomatic statements for diplomatic occasions and make them in the right way. So I, you know, on the balance, I'll take what Trump is doing over the old system.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think Trump can learn as he goes along.
Well, we were wonderfully diplomatic under the previous presidents, especially Obama. Wow, what an incredible diplomat. And then he apologized to everybody and basically made us weaker. I get where you're coming from, though. Maybe don't do it over breakfast with the cameras trained on you. Maybe wait until after breakfast and then get in their faces and say, look, enough is enough. You've got to pay 4% of GDP. You've got to start, you know, protecting yourselves. And by the way, if you want natural gas or oil, guess who has some? The friend who's been protecting you for 70 years.
Absolutely. Alliances are based on mutual interest. This is not a matter of we have to do the same thing that we did 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Trump has been elected not to be the chairman of the world, but to protect America's national interest. And sometimes national interests change. So I think the turbulence we're seeing on the international stage is simply a recognition of that simple, brute fact.
Death of a Nation is the name of the book and the movie. It's coming out first week of August. I want you to make plans to go and see it and go read it. I've got to ask you about the media relationship with the president. Well, you and I have talked about fascism, what real Nazism looked like, what Mussolini did, what Hitler did, what Stalin did. We talked about that. The media in this country, specifically, I'll name a name, Jim Acosta, thinks he has some entitlement or right to scream a question or a statement at the president whenever he sees fit. If the president ignores him or actually calls him out and says, you're fake news, I'm not going to talk to you like he did today. Acosta walks away with his tail between his legs. How dare you try to jail me and persecute me and take away my First Amendment right? What's really going on there? Because the fascism isn't coming from Trump. I mean, if somebody is lying about you or misreporting on you and constantly attacking you, is there some First Amendment right that you have to answer his questions?
It's absolutely preposterous. Trump, too, has a First Amendment right.
Yeah.
Just as Acosta does. And so just as Acosta has the right to criticize Trump, Trump has the right to fire back. So neither of them are sort of acting in a Nazi way by doing that. Now,
right.
Trump, Acosta is simply being an uncivilized boor. But the pretense that he's some sort of victim of fascism shows no understanding of fascism. If Mussolini were really in power, he'd send a bunch of black shirts in Mussolini's case.
Right.
Jim Acosta would never see the light of day.
Well, Jim Acosta in Fidel Castro's Cuba that Obama loved so much and did the wave with his brother at a baseball game, he would have been jailed for 25 years, if not killed. So, I mean, the idea that somehow Trump is acting like these really bad guys in our history is an idea that maybe feeble-minded people believe, but it's just not happening, right?
Well, this is the point that, remember, the fascists were national socialists. And so the national socialists, the difference between the fascists and the communists was simply this. The fascists were national socialists, and the communists were international socialists. So is it any surprise that they act in the same way?
Yeah. No, it's a great question. I've got one more question for you. I know that you've got to run. You've got a bunch of interviews all lined up. It's Dinesh D'Souza, DineshD'Souza.com. And again, if you're anywhere near Fort Bend County, FBCGOP.org, go there and sign up for a night with Debbie and Dinesh D'Souza. One last question. When it comes to Brexit, and what's being reported that the president said, I'm not going to do a trade deal with England. This Brexit thing, the way that you're doing it, you're walking it way too slowly. Do you think he said those things? And I guess a better question might be, does he say things like that so he has leverage to push our friend England to do the thing the right way instead of the way that May is doing it?
I think so. I think with Trump, he's moving the needle in his own direction.
Yeah.
And so when he says things like, I'm going to have sanctions, what he really means is, I'm going to have sanctions unless you take your sanctions down.
Right.
So it's a way of signaling to the other side that they can't simply take advantage of American acquiescence, that
right.
America's actually going to use leverage and use leadership.
And I understand that, but when it comes to Brexit, do you think it's still going to happen, or is that starting to look like it might be dead on arrival?
You know, I must say I'm a spectator of that. I'm not really sure how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
I'm watching it with great interest because I think that there is an analogy between the force behind Brexit and the forces that have sustained Trump in America. That being said, it's a different issue.
I agree wholeheartedly. DineshDeSouza.com. Go there, make plans to see the movie and get the book, Death of a Nation. It's coming out very soon. FBCGOP.org. Make sure you sign up for the event as well. Best to Debbie, Dinesh. I appreciate the time today.
Always a pleasure.
Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Home care.
Updating you with the news that matters, coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks, the Joe Pag Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Appreciate you. We've got some time for some Free Speech Friday calls. Make sure that you stay on the line. I'll get to you in a moment. First and foremost, though, got to remind you about Newsmax TV. If you haven't checked out Newsmax TV, I urge you to do so. Not only is the second hour of my program on there every night, they've got some other great programs on there. In fact, I find myself watching Newsmax TV all the time. It's America's newest conservative cable news channel. I'm sure you heard about Newsmax Online or even Newsmax Magazine. Well, you can go to their website and get great news coverage, but also they've got this great cable channel, kind of like Fox News. I really like Newsmax TV. It's wonderful. They just had Mike Reagan on, Alan Dershowitz, Rand Paul, Eric Bolin, Greta Van Susteren, Bill O'Reilly. You know you've heard some incredible guests, and you've seen some incredible guests on my show as well. Check out Newsmax TV today. The liberal media is just not going to report this stuff. It's the truth. Like the real story about President Trump and his successes. Newsmax TV, America's fastest growing cable news channel, now on 50 million subscribers' homes. DirecTV 349, Dish 216, UVerse 1220, Fios 615. If you don't have it on your cable system, make sure you get a hold of them and tell them to put Newsmax TV on there right now. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you waiting. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It's going to be Brian, who's in Houston. Hi, Brian. What's going on?
Hey, I was on the north side. Now I'm on the south side. Hey, man, I will just say I definitely missed the independent show you used to do for Houston years ago. It's kind of...
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we used to do the morning show there.
Yeah. I got this whole 12 indictments is kind of a big farce, I believe, because if you read the indictment, it talks about the DNC computer, which the only person ever looked at that was a place called Crowdsource, which is a Ukrainian company. And then you looked at the Hillary server, it was bleach bit, wipe slated, everything else, and we weren't able to get anything out of it. So where are these indictments coming from if we have no proof? I have a feeling it's just like the other indictments we did about the Facebook stuff, and they're just throwing stuff out there just to make news because, as you know, you can indict a ham sandwich.
Well, you can, but see, when it comes to the government doing its bidding like this, after the indictments happen, after the trials happen, after the process is over, the investigation is over, we will get to see where they got this information. Trust me, they've got to have some sort of a digital footprint or some sort of a digital fingerprint that'll show us how they know this. In the meantime, as I said earlier, I would love to see Julian Assange come forward and say, hey, I said I didn't get it from the Russians, and here's who I got it from. Why doesn't he do that? That's my question.
You got me on that one. Well, like I said, there will never be a trial because the Russians are never going to show up in a courtroom. So these are just platitudes.
Well, they can be found guilty even in absentia. They don't have to be there.
They'll never report a case.
All right, bro. I appreciate you, Brian. You could be right. You never know. I don't know. Carrie, you think there's going to be a court case?
I don't know. At this point, I kind of doubt it, but we'll see. It could happen.
Now, as Mueller was packing up, he had his Samsonite luggage and was leaving the office today. Did he say anything to the media?
No, he did not.
So he didn't leave, is what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying.
Still going to keep on collecting money and just investigating whatever it is that he's investigating.
Yes.
Okay, correct. Let me go back at it, say hi to Dan in Minnesota. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, my point is that I wholeheartedly agree with Robert Spencer, Joe, about his points about Sharia law being incompatible with the Bill of Rights and our Constitution and our American way of life.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to, as soon as possible, outlaw those parts of Sharia law that conflict with the Bill of Rights and our Constitution. That's my point.
Well, we don't have to outlaw it because it's not being put into play anywhere. If somebody is living under Sharia... hold on. Hello? If somebody's living under Sharia law, all they have to do is go to law enforcement and say, this person is beating me. This person is telling me that I this, that, or the other. This person is subjugating me to this, this, and the other thing. But until or unless that happens, you can wholeheartedly disagree all you want. Our laws. Dan, stop interrupting. My goodness, you call and you ask me a question and you interrupt the entire freaking time. I love you like a brother. I'm going to let you speak, I promise. But man, if you wait for me to take a half a breath, you're still doing it. You haven't stopped talking yet. The bottom line is, Sharia law, as it's written, as I spoke to Robert Spencer about, much of it is illegal. So if somebody is subjugated to it, all they have to do is get a hold of the local authorities or the state authorities or whatever and tell them, I'm being subjugated to this this thing that abridges our laws. Go ahead.
All right, so the problem with what you're saying is that we have freedom of religion. We have to remove the ambiguity that Muslims or Islamists take to what we think is freedom of religion so that it's clear that it does not protect Sharia law by making Sharia law illegal.
There are some religions that would say you must sacrifice young people. There are some religions that say sacrifice animals. Those things are against the law. You don't have to make some law that says Sharia law, this, that, or the other. All you have to do is follow the laws of the Constitution and of the United States, and this isn't okay. Now, what we have to do is we have to embolden people who are subjugated to go and seek out law enforcement to stop this from happening.
I also think we need to outlaw the Quran in the sense that you can't swear.
I love you, Dan. You have yourself a good one. Hey, the guy wants to outlaw everything, and outlawing religion isn't the answer. Outlawing the actual behavior is the answer. I can't make it any simpler than that. If somebody is being subjugated to something that is against the laws of the United States or the Constitution or whatever, or of your township, go to law enforcement, report it, and have the person arrested for breaking the law. You don't have to say, oh, that's it. The entire Quran should be outlawed. That doesn't make sense. All right, let's do some pop culture. Right? Dirty pop. All right, Polo, put a cap on it. What's going on?
All right, so had you seen that story about Kylie Jenner and the Forbes cover where they're talking about her being, like, almost a billionaire at the age of 20?
Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
Okay, so now I guess there's some people trying to start a GoFundMe page to help her get to the $1 billion so she can be a billionaire.
Oh, stop it.
Yes.
Just stop it.
It's like, come on, man.
Polo, stop it.
I can't.
Carrie, stop it.
I can't either.
Okay, for Karina, for Sam, for Carrie, for Polo, Joe Pags, gotta go. We'll see you Monday. Time for the weekend. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags Show.